إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, in the last of the series on reminders or lessons from Hajj, I remind myself and you that as you complete your Tawaf al-Wada and as you are leaving the Haram, and you come out of the, see, you come out of the Bab Malik Fahd or Bab Abdul Aziz, and you are headed towards your cars, what do you see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes symbols of ibrat to be placed before our eyes. But those who have eyes but who are blind, and those who have ears but are deaf, and those who have hearts but do not understand, Allah mentioned these three things specifically in the Quran. And Allah called them kal anam bal hum adal. Allah said they are like animals, they are like cattle. And Allah said no, but they are even worse than cattle. We ask Allah not to make us among those. What do you see when you come out of there? You see directly in front of you the tafsir of Surah Al-Asr. Wal-Asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by time. And as soon as you come out of there and you look up, what do you see? You see the great Makkah clock with Allah written on top of it. Just in case you need that reminder. Wal Asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by time. And as soon as you come out there, you see the clock. And directly after, what is the next ayah? Innal insana lafi khusr. Verily and truly, al insan, all humanity, lafi khusr. Again, the lam of taqid, the lam of emphasis. He is in great loss, in great khasara, in great destitution. And directly under the clock, what do you have? You have the malls, you have the souk, you have every single brand that you can imagine. You have all kinds of fashions, you have all kinds of displays of those fashions. You have all kinds of gadgets and you have all kinds of food and everything, the malls. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid. And the most hated places for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the markets. And directly under the clock are the markets. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. This is the tafsir of Surah Al-Asr, which is striking you in the face. But if you are blind, you will never see it. In the linsana the fiqhus, markets. Ask yourself, what is this today? What is the global economy? What is it based on? What system is it called? It's called the free market economy. Yes or no? Free market economy. We are not a moral society. We don't even say we are a moral society. We don't say we are a moral society, we say we are a free market society. And what is the meaning of free market? Islam also does not regulate prices in the market, this is true. And that's why people get confused and they compare, they say Islam also has democracy and Islam also has free market. Islam does not have democracy as in the political democracies that we practice today. That's not Islamic democracy. Islam does not have free market as in the free market economy. In the free market economy, everything is allowed. Islam does not allow it. Islam only does not regulate prices. But Islam definitely regulates what you will buy, what you will sell, what you will manufacture. And all of those things, the criterion of that is whether or not it promotes good morals and good values, or whether or not it destroys and corrupts those values. In an Islamic world, pornography would be illegal. In an Islamic world, cigarettes would be illegal. In an Islamic world, alcohol would be illegal. In an Islamic world, discos and bars would be illegal. In an Islamic world, clubs would be illegal. This is not oppression. All places which contribute to the corruption of society would be illegal. Bollywood and Hollywood would be illegal, because these corrupt society. And believe me, today, talk to any sane, educated person from the West or the East or the North or the South. They will agree with you completely and totally. They will say that, yes, these things are corruptors. Nobody will say alcohol is beneficial for you. Nobody will say at least smoke one packet of cigarettes every day because it is good for your health. Nobody says that. But nobody also questions the complete insanity that we know that cigarette smoking causes cancer, but we will not make it illegal. We print a warning on the cigarette packet saying this is injurious to health, this causes cancer. Then why are you manufacturing it? Why are you selling it? Why are you making money out of it? How do you consider that money to be halal? Selling cancer sticks is halal? And if somebody tells you, you get angry. Who cares? Take your anger and stuff it up. Who cares? This is our free market economy. Free market economy. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except those people who have iman and who do good deeds. Iman does not substitute for good deeds. Good deeds do not substitute for iman. People say, I don't pray but I do good deeds. Your good deeds are worthless, brother. If you did not pray, you are khalas, you are outside of Islam. You can do all the good deeds in the world, doesn't compensate for salah. Salah has to be there, has to be established by itself. Good deed or no good deed, the best of the good deed is salah. So any good deed you are doing is less than that. So if you say, I'm not doing salah, but I give charity, sorry, your charity is not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalaluhu, because you denied the ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You denied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship. You denied your la ilaha illallah because you said, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, but I will not worship Allah. This is what you are saying. When you are not praying, this is what you are saying. And then you say, I give charity. You go, oh, give charity, who cares? Who cares? But our Islamic knowledge is so pathetic and we are not even ashamed of it. This is the tragedy. We are not even ashamed of how little we know. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah did not say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. He did not say the one who has iman or the one who does good. No, the one who has iman and does good deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Who invites towards the haqq and who invites towards sabr, meaning that when he invites towards haqq, when conditions come upon him, he or she behaves with sabr. And that is what you see as you come out, because below the markets, below the clock, which is a witness to you and me, is the haram. If you take the aerial view of this whole thing, it's absolutely pathetic. It's like the clock and the markets, they hugely dominate that entire landscape. The Masjid al-Haram, I remember when I first went for Hajj, there was where all of this is, there used to be a hill. There was a very high hill. On top of that, there was a fort which the Turks had made, the Turki government had made for protection of the Haram. Today, the entire hill is gone. And when you went there, the biggest building, except for that palace at the back, but otherwise, the dominant building, what dominated the landscape, was the Masjid al-Haram. The minars of the Masjid, you stood there and you looked up at them and you said, MashaAllah, what a beautiful minar, what a beautiful building. Today, you turn around, you have to look to actually see that clock, you have to lie down flat on your back, because I don't see how else you can see it. You'll break your neck trying to see it, it's so high up. And that clock and that tower and those markets that dominate the Masjid. Al-Masjid al-Haram today is insignificant. Architecturally speaking, if you look at that entire structure, the Masjid al-Haram is not noticeable. And way down, there is a black dot, which is the Kaaba. Literally, it's a black dot. I've asked Omer to put up that picture from the internet of the entire of that entire complex for today's Fajr reminder. You will see it, inshallah. just a black dot, and this is the house of Allah. This is the house of Allah. This black dot is what we point towards when we pray. This black dot is what Ibrahim alayhi salam made. This black dot is what Jibreel alayhi salam came to order Ibrahim alayhi salam to make. And Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam, two Anbiya, they made that black dot. Today it's a black dot. Ibrat ki cheez hai. This is witness against us on the day of judgment. And this is ibrat for us to come out of there and see that this is our life. This is our life. This is what we have done to ourselves. And above all of that, wal asr. By time, by the clock, and the clock is ticking away, counting down the seconds to the day of judgment. And the day of judgment for us, the Qiyamatul Sughra, is our own death. It is not the day of judgment whenever Allah establishes. It is our own death. And as the clock is counting down the seconds, for each one of us, our own day of judgment will be established. What then will we answer Allah? What will we answer Allah? I want to close this series of lessons on Hajj to say, when you come out of the Haram, stand there and look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Asr and remind yourself, don't go back into that. Don't go back into those markets. Don't go back into that. What a tragedy. I mean, why must you have all those shops and all those markets and all those brands and you know, I don't even want to mention, I mean, there's so many things there which, well, I don't want to sit here in the masjid and mention that. What is the need for that? Why is there not an Islamic university in that building? What would have gone wrong? Could we not have had the shops one street ahead, one street beyond that? Believe me, the Muslims may not go to the masjid one street across, but they will go to the shops. So there's no problem having the shops a bit far away. They will still find their way there. But how would it have been if all those buildings had hotels at an affordable cost for the average person? Not those absolutely five-star fancy hotels which only the super rich can afford. And the poor people have to trek for miles and miles and miles to get to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have hotels which advertise your direct view of the Kaaba from the room. How would it have been if those hotels had been reasonable hotels, reasonably priced for ordinary people, and the rest of the space is given over to Tahfiz al-Quran, to the Ulum al-Sharia, to have madaris and to have a whole university complex there right in front of the Haram? What would be more appropriate than to have a university, an Islamic university, right in the complex of the Haram? It is the right of the teachers of Islam to be in that place, not the right of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that these are the worst of places. What would have happened if market price you wouldn't have got. It would not be so lucrative market. And that is the tragedy. We live in a free market economy. Everything at the end of the day has to be judged in terms of the price tag on it. How much money will it make? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So as you come out of the Haram and you finish your Hajj and you finish Umrah, stand there and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a promise to yourself that you will not go back and come out of, you will not go out of this place and go back into those places. I am not giving a fatwa, but I would say that anyone who goes for Umrah and Hajj, make it haram on yourselves to buy anything from those shops. Go to Jeddah and buy, go somewhere else and buy. Don't buy from there. At least let the malaika who are making tawaf of the Kaaba, at least let them be your witness that you did not leave the best place to go into the worst place. Do that to yourself. Do that. Let those malaika bear witness that this man came out of the best place and he went home. And he did not go into the worst place. It is not haram. I'm not making this fatwa. I'm saying you make it haram on yourself. Have some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah cleaned you and everything else, and out of that you want to go back into this filth of this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I remind myself and you, let us be where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this morning, where he said, وَلَا عَسْرِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي قُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.